start. Okay. So three things that we want to see today. The first one being in the same way, the quotes. In the same way. Okay? Peter uses that again. And we noticed, 2 weeks ago, when we were talking about 1 Peter, that Peter uses this phrase to continue to kind of make that argument of what it means to live as children of God in this world. Okay? That we are citizens of heaven, but we are temporarily living in this world. Okay? And so following along that same lines, Peter uses it once more. Okay? And then he says to, this time, the men. Okay? Now, but follow the logic here. Peter is saying, in the same way, be submissive, husbands. Okay? That's key because as a Bible study leader and teacher, and someone who's been in teaching positions, it's easy for us to, for people like me, to stand before you and use passages like Ephesians 5, for example, and say, hey, look, if you look at Ephesians 5, Paul specifically just says to the women, be submissive to your husbands, but it doesn't never says anything about husbands being submissive to their wives. No, that's very, very bad. Very, very. If anyone ever says that to you, they lied to you, okay, and they didn't do their homework, okay? Because even Paul says that to the husbands as well, because we look up, if you look carefully in Ephesians chapter 5, that whole section, he tells men and women, be submissive to each other. Be submitting to each other, actually, is the literal translation. And so Peter is not saying anything new here, okay? And so, guys, in case you're like, ah, my wife is supposed to be submissive, right? And so if I come home after a hard day's work and she don't have my dinner, I'll be like, woman, submit. Okay? If you say that, you need to get smacked in your face, all right? Because that's not in the Bible, okay? You're lying to yourself, okay? And ladies, if you know your Bibles, you should have the guts to say, man, shut up, take a shower, go read your Bible. You ain't getting no dinner, okay? Just say that, all right? I guarantee you say that once or twice, all right, after work, man, your man's going to start reading the Bible pretty hard, okay? Because they're going to be like, wait, what's going on, okay? And so Peter is saying that to the gentlemen of the room, right? Be submissive, be submitting to your wives. Okay, and so you go, all right, how do I do that? Well, Peter says it very specifically. Husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way is what most translations will say, or at least that's what mine says. Some translations will actually even say, be considerate of your wives. Okay, this is one of those instances where I think the translators had a pretty difficult time trying to figure out how to kind of massage that, I guess, and write it in English in a way that many people can understand. The literal translation of that is this: live with your wives according to the knowledge. That's literally what it says, what Peter says. Okay, and so you go, okay. Right, so you know, try to understand the translators. You know, they're not trying to mess us up. They're not trying to trick people. Okay, they're trying their best in terms of helping us to understand what the Bible says. Okay, these are all God-loving, God-fearing people, really, really smart. However, they are human, and so they make mistakes. And I think this is one of those. I don't want to say a huge mistake, but there's a better way to say it, especially in terms of the context. Okay. So what does that all mean? Well, Peter says this, husbands, okay, men, husbands, fathers, boyfriends, and future boyfriends, and people who want to be boyfriends, okay, live according to the knowledge. Live according to knowledge. What knowledge? Knowledge of God's word, period. And you say, how? Well, we know from Genesis, for example, because Peter used, I'm just copying Peter, okay? Peter used Sarah in the last time we met when he was talking with the women. So I'm doing the same thing, and I'm using Genesis, okay? And Adam, going back a little bit further than Abraham. But if we look at Adam, right, and we saw in Genesis chapter 1 and 2, for example, God speaks directly to Adam. There is no instance in the first two chapters of Genesis where God speaks directly to Eve. Okay? You get to Genesis 3, and you see the interaction between Eve and the serpent. Eve is able to dialogue and talk with the serpent regarding the thing that God talked to Adam about in the previous chapters. Meaning, God told Adam very specific things. For example, take care of my garden. Take care of the animals. Give the animals names. Okay? I think Adam like kind of ran out of names. Some animals. You ever think about this? Because I think I watch a lot of nature shows with my kid. So like, you know, there's like squirrels. And then there's like flying squirrels. You know, really? You can think of something better? You know? Like red squirrels, gray squirrels. You know, you would have thought Adam would have come up with something better. I have to give him credit though for the duck-billed platypus, because I have no idea what a platypus is, but, you know, but sometimes you're like, it's like gray squirrel, red squirrel. Alright, think of something better. Flying squirrel. Silverback gorilla. I mean, you know, like he saw a gorilla, it's silver on the back. Silverback? Anyway. So Adam was tasked. Okay, God told Adam, hey, do these things. Take care of the garden, right? And then do all these things. And you can eat from any fruit in the garden except this. Okay? And Adam, and that was what God told Adam. And then Eve comes along. Okay? And we're not going to talk about that part right now because it's like 16 and over. Okay? Or this is going to be a college group Bible study thing. Okay? We're going to talk about that at time. Okay, anyway, so Eve comes in the picture, right? And God never tells Eve whatever he told Adam. However, in Genesis 3, the serpent comes to Eve and says, hey, did God really say, you can eat all these things except this? And Eve is able to respond, say, yeah, God did say that. God said, we can eat anything except this. How does Eve know? It's because Adam told her. Right? So Adam, okay, even... A lot of people, like including myself, we think Adam was really stupid, okay? He failed, like epic fail. First epic fail of history. Plunged mankind into sin. Okay, anyway. Regardless, he still did some stuff right, okay, before he fell, which was that he did his job in terms of relaying to his wife the word of God. Okay, he was living according to the knowledge. Right? And so that's what Peter's saying here in our passage, right? You husbands, you future boyfriends, future dads. I'm saying future. What, highlight that, okay? Future, right? Don't be that guy. All right. Anyway, live according to the knowledge. Now, ladies, don't think, oh, just because this is specifically addressed to the men, don't think that you guys get a back seat and free pass. Because just as the men are very specifically pointed out here, the ladies, again, are implicitly pointed out in terms of you guys are also tasked to, you guys have the right, and we're going to talk about that a little bit later, but you guys have the right as fellow children of God to call out your man if he is not reading his Bible. For example, it's totally okay, I think, and it's even a good thing, that if you as a wife notice that maybe your man isn't reading his Bible so much, and you go, hey, what's the last passage you read, and when? I think that's a pretty legitimate question. You know? I think as mom and dad, I think you guys also have the, you guys should actually be asking your kids, anyway, when was the last time you read your Bible and when? Before I got married, funny story, I'm not sure if I'm allowed to share this, but I'm going to share it anyway. Funny story is, before I got married, you know, Peter, my brother and I, you know, we would sometimes be in our rooms practicing guitar, having quiet time or whatever, you know? And my mom has this, like, radar, spiritual radar. Because mamas, this is the kind of power you get, right, when you have kids. Right? This is the power you get. You get spiritual radar. What does that mean? What that means is, one day I was, like, just minding my own business, you know, playing the guitar in my room. My mom sticks her head in, she goes, good song. You still need to pray more. Alright? Ladies, alright? Hey, you guys have to have the guts to be able to keep your man in check, okay? Because we're lazy, alright? We're lazy. We're part of that part of our sin nature. We're lazy, alright? So if we ever get the thought that, hey, I can trick her. Like, hey, I can trick Cohen. I can just fake it. Cohen, you got to be like, nah. That stuff don't fly here, alright? Not to be disrespectful or anything like that. You don't be rude with it, alright? But just be honest and say, hey, you're the man of the house. One day you have to stand before God and give an account of how you took care of our family. I'm just trying to keep you straight. You know? That's a pretty legitimate way. Anyway, so for the guys, read your Bibles. Read your Bibles. This is why ladies, I think this is why also young ladies never really come to me and ask me, hey, what do you think about this guy? Because I'm pretty blunt. But just as a general rule of thumb, right? If you're considering, hey, this guy is not that bad, or this guy is not as stupid, or this guy is not as smelly as the other ones, okay? Before you look at the stuff he drives, or the way he walks, or the way, or what he wears, or whatever, start asking him some questions, some hard questions. Like, what's your favorite verse? What's the last thing you read? What's the last time you read the Bible and you kind of got confused? That's a good one. Because if you ask that and they don't have those answers for you, he faking. He lying to you. Straight up, he just lying to you. Okay? Alright? And so, ladies, even when you're single, right? Just get in that habit. Learn. And guys, when you start thinking, man, she is beautiful. She is beautiful. Okay? Man, she's out of my league. She is out of your league. Right? I'm going to tell you straight up another scientific fact. Ready? Every man who marries always marries up. Every lady, you marry down. For sure. Okay? For sure. Ladies, you always settle. Okay? Because there's no knight in shining armor in the world. Okay? So you're going to have to just settle. Alright? Just be okay with that. Alright? For guys, you just thank God that a schmuck like you finally somehow tricked by the immense, pure, powerful grace of God that you found a wife, okay? It's trickery, all right? For non-Christians, it's trickery, okay? For Christians, it's pure grace of God, okay? But for guys, when you start thinking, hey, I like this lady, I like this girl, right? And you start talking to her, think about the dialogue you're having. A good friend of mine almost got married to a lady. Very, very, close. But there were some red flags. And if I got a chance to meet her, I would have slapped him across the face. In public, too. I would have. Just to save him. But this girl was bad news. She was pretty. She was nice. But man, she don't love Jesus. She faked it real hard. Real good. But the biggest red flag. First red flag. So what do you think about today's service? We're not going to talk about God anymore. We're out of church. What? Guys, you take out a girl to lunch, and she says that to you on a Sunday, you say, thank you very much, thank you for your time, let's pay for the food, and let's get out of here, because I'm going to take you home, because I don't have time for you anymore. Alright? Just be real honest. Don't be mean about it, just be real honest. Okay? Anyway, that's my dating seminar in whatever, how long that took. Alright, number two, the second lesson, weaker, but not lesser. Okay? And I kind of talked, we talked about this a little bit. At the risk of sounding very out of touch and old-fashioned and just an old fart, maybe even sexist, okay, I'm going to say it straight up. Women, in general, physically are weaker. Weaker, physically. Okay? I'm not discounting some strong women. Okay? Like, if you watch the Olympics, they do, like, the powerlifting stuff. Yo, that's scary, man. All right? I'm just... scary. Their arms are thicker than like some of your heads. You know, it just...
They got man hands.
Yeah, they got man hands. You know, and sometimes you watch like WNBA by accident, right? Those ladies come and like dunk it in your face, and you're like, oh, what are you gonna do? Like, seriously, guys, as a man, what are you gonna do? Lady comes down and dunks it in your face. Nothing you can do about that. Nothing you can do about that. Your manhood just got cut in half, at least. Okay? So I'm not talking about those individuals, but I'm just saying in general. Okay? I'm just saying in general. Right? Like, for example, like, if we put Gloria in a cage with Brandon, Brandon's gonna die. Like, there's no survival rate there at all. Okay? I'm not talking about specifics, okay? But I'm just saying in general. Okay? In general, the ladies are physically just smaller and weaker than men. Okay? This is a biological fact. Alright? And Peter says it to that effect. Right? So that's what he's saying when Peter says, as someone weaker. Now, however, with that being said, we also need to understand that the Bible does not mean, does not equate physical weakness or physical weakness in comparison to the man as less. Less valuable, less worthy, or less dignified. Because ladies, you're not. Okay? Because if you continue that phrase, Peter says this, husbands, live with your wives according to the knowledge, as someone weaker, because she's a woman, show her honor as a fellow heir of grace, of life. Meaning this, we men, we show her honor, we show the ladies honor and respect, and show them value and the worth that they have because they are fellow children of God. Okay, and we see that in 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, right, where John says, he doesn't, a lot of times in the Bible, they use the word brothers, okay, and they're talking about, you know, this is the culture of the day, they just use that masculine word to talk about people. However, in 1 John, he uses the word children, men and women, right? 1 John 3:1, that's one verse everyone got to write down and memorize, right? How great the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. Okay, so ladies, that's who you are. Don't let no man, whatever title that he might have in church, no matter how fat his wallet might be, no matter what car he might drive, don't let no man come and disrespect you like that. Ever. What that means is, no man should ever put a hand on you. Ever. You should never go home with fear that you're ever going to get hit. You should never go home with the fear that you're going to get abused verbally. No man should ever talk down to you. You should never feel in your home that you are anything less than a child of God. Period. There will be even people at church who will stand in front of you and say, submit. Submit. They won't say it, but they will imply that because you're a woman, you are less. Somehow less. Than man. That's a lie. It's a lie straight from the pit of hell. Alright? Ladies, you are weaker, but you are not less in any way. You are fellow heirs of the grace of life. That means you have intrinsic, meaning God made you with ingrained dignity, value, and worth. Alright? And so, and for some people, it might be like, oh man, but I've been wronged, I've been hurt, I've been blah, blah. God did not abandon you in that moment. In fact, God grieved. And God was angered God is angered at guys who do that. For sure. And judgment is coming for them. But for ladies, God redeems your past. If you were ever wronged by whoever, family members, friends, boyfriends, don't matter. Because God redeems it. Though, just because some idiot came along in your life and treated you less than what you are, doesn't mean that you are less than what you are. You see that? Because that's another effect of sin. Sin will come and take what you are and try to trick you into thinking that you're something that you're not. And for ladies especially, it's less. sin will come and tell you you're less than what you are. So therefore, you have to make yourself more beautiful. You have to make yourself more valuable, more worthy, more whatever. No, you don't have to do anything. Okay? You are still valued, precious, beautiful children of God. And don't let any man, especially in a Christian context, don't think, oh, I'm dating a Christian, so this is not going to happen to me. No, no, no. Ladies, don't be fooled. Christian men, they're still sinners. Okay, we're still sinning a lot. Alright? We hopefully, by the grace of God, sinning a little bit less. But we're still sinners. Okay, so don't be tricked into thinking, oh, I'm dating a Christian guy, so this is not going to happen to me. No, 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 no. This is why you got to kind of be on your toes. Alright? And like I said before, don't be afraid to be like, hey, have those important spiritual questions. Ask them about the Bible. Ask them about the Bible. That's why my friends, when Peggy and I started dating, the arguments that we would have, it was pretty epic arguments. Not like shouting, like punching arguments, but like pretty heated discussions, very serious discussions. And it was mostly about the Bible. Actually, they were all about the Bible. And I remember one of my friends started laughing, and he was talking to another friend. He's like, yeah, they're a good couple because Peggy can only have that discussion with Sam. Keep you in check, you know? I like it when my wife asks me that question because it's like, you know, she's trying to keep me in check, right? And I also know that she's reading the Bible with intent, with purpose. Right, and she's not dozing off or anything like that. So, ladies, remember, though you are weaker, you are not in any way lesser. Okay, you are valuable. Lastly, godly husbands pray well. Okay, and this is from the last phrase in verse 7, where Peter says, "So that your prayers will not be hindered." Okay, your prayer. Back that up. He says, live with your wives in an understanding way, since she is a woman, and show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. Okay? So Peter basically says to the guys, if you're not doing your job, if you're not reading your Bible, you're not leading your family according to the Bible, then your prayer life is going to suck. Okay? That's pretty negative. Let me try to spin it in a positive way. when we read our Bibles consistently, right, and we pray consistently, then leading our families according to the knowledge is going to come naturally. I'm not saying you're going to do this perfectly every day. You're not. You're gonna make mistakes. You're gonna fail a lot. That's why we rely on the grace of God for sure. But again, the question is: if your prayer life sucks, right? If you're reading your Bible not so much, and you're relationship with your family is not so good. You gotta start asking yourself, why is this happening? If anything we learn from this passage, is one verse, is this: all those things are interrelated. In the 21st century in North America, we want to compartmentalize everything. Oh, this is my church life, this is my school life, this is my friend. No. And that's, I think, one of the most in-your-face, invasive thing, offensive thing about Jesus, because he takes our little categories and he like blows it up. Because when we meet Jesus, we want to put him in a category too. We want to put him into a little nice cubby hole and we want him to stay there. But Jesus doesn't like cubby holes. He doesn't like categories. And he busts out, he blows stuff up. And we get mad. And then Jesus starts showing up in everything. And that's the way it should be for guys especially, right? Godly men, you want to live a godly life, Jesus needs to be showing up in everything. It's all interrelated. Your prayer life and your quiet time life your thing with your friends, your thing at work, your thing at church, and at home, it's all related. And it has to be centered around Jesus. If Jesus is not in the middle of that, then it's all going to start crumbling, for sure. Sooner or later, it's going to start crumbling. Okay? So, godly husbands pray well. I made myself a little note here. Some of you guys, you're looking at me like, yo, man, I'm not even dating. I can't even drive. I don't got a job. Ladies, if a guy can't pay for your dinner, he's not worth your time. I'm just saying that. Just put that out there, okay? So you young guys, you're gonna like, yo, man, I'm not at that age yet. I don't even have a car. I mean, seriously, ladies, like, what are you gonna do? Can you have your mommy pick me up? Can we get money for pizza? If your boyfriend gotta ask his mama for pizza money, he's not worthy of that title. All right, I'm just saying. This is one of the reasons why I want a daughter, just so I can show the world like how it's supposed to be done. Anyway, and I'm also gonna teach her how to like kill on command. Anyway, for you guys, right? Hey, I'm not at that stage yet, you know. How does this apply to me? It's this. Start now. I think for you young people, and I see this a little bit in college too. For you young people, you go, man, you start thinking about formulating, because I know, because I was there. You start formulating in your mind the kind of lady that you would love to marry one day. The kind of girlfriend that you'd like to have. Problem is, we have this grand like list of stuff that she's got to do. And for many of us, especially in this room, we want to, you know, like, we want to make sure, like, we're holy. So we, like, add a spiritual category. She's got to be like this. She's got to, like, love Jesus and sing like an angel, play, like, 10 instruments all at once and live at church and blah, 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 all that. Fine. You know, the problem is, for you young guys, you start looking for a girl like that, but we're never the guy. We never work on ourselves. We never work on our Christian life. If you want a girl like that, then maybe we need to up our game and be the guy that deserves that kind of girl. You see that? So Hunter, you want to marry a nice, godly woman? Start practicing now. Start praying now. Because I guarantee you, the day you give me a call and say, hey, I met a girl, I'll say, great. Buy you lunch. You should be like not sleeping that day. Because during that lunch, that's going to be terrible for you. You know why? Because I'm like, hey, let me ask you some questions. Okay? When was the last time you asked Hunter about this? I never did. I'm going to give you the dirtiest look. We'll drop her off, and then I'll take you back parking lot with a baseball bat. You and me, one-on-one intense counseling session right there. Okay? I'm just saying. All right, this is going to be, I'm going to edit this. This is so bad. Main point, young men, before you start listing in your minds the stuff that your future wife is supposed to have, start practicing. Start being that guy that deserves that kind of girl. For you guys that are a little bit older, man, you got a lot less time. Start practicing now. Start fasting. I don't know what fasting is. Fasting is not eating and praying. What do I pray about? Oh, dear God, I'm in desperate need of you, of your help, because I need to be a certain kind of man for to be able to marry and support and love and lead a godly woman. So godly husbands pray well. So you young people, you young guys, you want to be a good husband? You want to be a good, good dad? Start practicing. Because one of the biggest lies is, hey, once I start dating, now I'll start. Once we get married, then I'll do. No, that's a lie. That's a lie. Straight up, that's a lie. Start practicing now. And so in the same way, you young guys, there's no husbands here, so I mean, you young guys, young gentlemen, live your lives according to the knowledge. Live your lives according to the knowledge. This is what you are expected. And in closing, I'm going to leave you all with this scary thought. When Jesus comes back, a lot of people think the spiritual matters, and this is important especially for the Korean American church people. A lot of people think that when Jesus returns, that the spiritual matters of individuals will fall mostly on pastors. That's not the case. It's not. You can't prove that from the Bible. I mean, I will have to answer for your spiritual lives in some way. I'm telling you too. Okay? But we're not going to shoulder the majority of that weight. The majority of that weight is going to fall to your fathers. In the same way, when you stand before God, God's going to ask you, how did you lead your family? And you can't say, oh, well, I took them to church. That's not good enough. That ain't going to fly. The smallest unit of the church is two people. God did that on purpose, I believe. Because Jesus said, when two or more are gathered in your name, in my name, there I will be, right? Two smallest unit of a church is two people. That's a family. Smallest unit of a church is a family. And so all fathers, husbands, whether you like it or not, you are called by God to be a pastor. You are supposed to pastor your family, not me. Don't think you can pass that on to me. You can't. You think you can. You think you did. You can't. Thank God for that, because people like Johnny and me were like, woo! Takes a whole burden off our shoulders, right? Guys, that's on you. Time to be men. Time to be gentlemen. Let's pray.